I got a call from a layman, well-known nationalist, who just wrote a book that I encouraged him to write, and he sent it into the chancery to get an imprimatur. And he called me up to say that they took issue with some things that I've said. I said that Christ is physically present in the Holy Eucharist. They told him, remove that and you'll get your imprimatur. Do you hear me? That's why we're here. So that somebody somewhere still know what the church teaches. So then, we hardly have to ask why the Eucharist is a sacrament. Can you imagine Christ, not being the source of grace, once he is present? Once we realize that the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, no other verb is allowed. It is self-evident. And you already have the answer. Why is the Eucharist a sacrament? A better question would be, why not? If Christ is not a source of grace, well then, who is? I don't want to lose anybody. But you must realize that. If Jesus Christ is really present in the Holy Eucharist, if he were not a channel of grace, there are no channels of grace in the world, right? Word sacrament is silly. That is why it is impossible to grasp too clearly. I have taught too many people, too many priests. Impossible to grasp too clearly or see too deeply the truth of Catholic Christianity, that through the powers of the priesthood which Christ conferred on the apostles and enable them to pass on the powers which he gave them on Holy Thursday night, we now have Jesus Christ with us, among us, near us, constantly available to us. Daniel, remember what happened after the wedding too, don't you? He was in Chicago, by the way. Then I had a Mercy's telephone call in the rectory. And I left my coat in the rectory with my plane ticket and water and everything. And back to the wedding reception to an old went to Cana, so can I go to the wedding reception. And I got to get back into the rectory. It was locked. I had the doorbell. Security people. Then we looked around for an open window to climb in because my plane was leaving from Chicago. I had to get back to Detroit. Well, we prayed and one of the assistant priests came just in time. How happy I was to see him. But it's understanding the faith. And was it you, Daniel, that quoted from my bishop friend Remember that article he wrote? The greatest, what is it, greatest?
Greatest tragedy.
The greatest tragedy
in the church today
is
locked churches.
Locked churches. So everywhere, he tried every door. Locked churches. In the National Catholic Directory of the United States, all the dioceses are listed. And after the end of each diocese, there were, of course, listed the institutions and then also the closed churches. Some dioceses have columns, have closed churches, just locked up. And they're up for sale for almost nothing. Empty. And the more you live with this, you become like hypnotized. You don't realize even how grave the situation is. That is why, as I say, it is impossible to stress too strongly two truths that on Holy Thursday night Christ both instituted the Blessed Sacrament and instituted the priesthood. The one cannot stand without the other. I can think of no better way to conclude this part of our class than by quoting from St. Alphonsus Liguori, the founder of the Redemptorists and heavenly patron of confessors and spiritual directors. It's from his book on the Holy Eucharist. I have page 113. I'm quoting. Our holy faith teaches us, and we are bound to believe, that in the consecrated host, Jesus Christ is really present under the species of bread. But you must also understand that he is thus present on our altars, as on a throne of love and mercy, to dispense graces, and then to show us the love he bears us by being pleased to dwell night and day in the midst of us, unquote. Over the years, I've been in too many empty convent and monastery chapels. You know, even the architecture, one church after another. All kinds of learned, even books published on the new architecture. Oh, it's new, all right. But where is our Lord? And this, by the way, once this new catechism comes out, there are going to be a lot of unhappy people. And God knows how many people will obey it. For me, one of the most frightening statements of our Lord in the Gospels is, do you think he's talking about not just the last day? Do you think the Son of Man will find any faith left on earth? Of course he will. But that's the bottom line. And the more educated a people become, the more prone they are to question everything. And this being my profession and working with, goodness, educated people. All kinds of big words. They know Greek. They know Hebrew. They may know Assyrian. All kinds of languages. Or they know German. So they read some of the German skeptics. Pretty soon they're living in a dream world. Our Lord is here. And that's why it's the lay people in so many ways. I tell priests, I'm going to bring even the priests back to their sanity. Now we're going to take each of the three parts. Here with the Eucharist, have sacrament three times over. So this is finished when we talked about Eucharistic sacrament. That's done. Now, a new section. The sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist. Our purpose in this, call it lecture because it's a class, is to explain how the Mass is the sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist. What is our main source for our doctrine on the Mass? Our main source for our doctrine on what the Mass is first the definitions of the Council of Trent in the 16th century. And let me tell you, as I was preparing the lectures in Chicago last week and had to read and read by the hour from the forthcoming catechism, I almost cried for joy, passage after passage from the much maligned and hated Council of Trent. And secondly, second main teaching is that of Pope Pius XII. On a Eucharistic doctrine, the Second Vatican Council built the documents on the sacred liturgy. Now, there are many documents of Pius XII, but two especially. Mediator Dei and Mystici Corporis Christi. Mediator Dei, Mediator of God, and Mystici Corporis Christi, the mystical body of Christ. So that's what we'll do here now. As you see, these classes are not just exhortations to piety. You follow? It's to enlighten our minds. And every time I teach the subject, I've been doing this for over 30 years, I still keep learning, believe me. And the audience helps a lot. First then, the teaching of the Council of Trent on the sacrifice of the Mass. It was met because of the widespread errors on the Mass that were disseminated by the so-called Protestant reformers. Luther had been a Catholic priest. Cranmer was a British bishop. The whole hierarchy of England, except one man, gave up the faith. There was one dominant feature in the writings of these Protestant leaders, and by the way, there are four names they should always remember. All the Protestants of the world today, over 4,000 denominations, they trace their origins to four men: Luther, Cranmer, Calvin, and Zwingli. Luther, Cranmer, Calvin, and Zwingli. Without exception, all of these original Protestants, I have to use the word evil geniuses, deny that Christ had instituted the sacrament of orders, which a prior ordained priest to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No exceptions. That was the target, the main target. Denying the priesthood with the power of changing bread and wine to living Christ and offering the sacrifice of the Mass. And how happy I am to see we had quite a few Jesuits who died martyrs for believing in the real presence and daring to offer the sacrifice of the Mass. Consequently, the Council of Trent published no less than nine formal anathemas. Remember what anathema is? Anathema is a condemnation. Condemning anyone who held, well, and they chose nine main doctrines. What I'm doing here is choosing three out of the nine. Teaching my Jesuits, believe me, I wouldn't spare them. They go over everything. And they better know it. Three of the nine are fundamental. Each statement, remember, will begin with, if anyone says. Then what follows will be an error, which the Church condemns. Number one. If anyone says that in the Mass a true and proper sacrifice is not offered to God, or that the sacrificial offering consists merely in the fact that Christ given to us to eat, let him be anathema. Let me repeat. If anyone says that in the Mass a true and proper sacrifice is not offered to God, or that the sacrificial offering consists merely in the fact that Christ is given to us to eat, let him be anathema. Second, if anyone says that by the words, "Do this in commemoration of me," Christ did not make the apostles priests, or that he did not command that they and other priests should offer his body and blood, let him be anathema. If anyone says that by the words, "Do this in commemoration of me," Christ did not intend to make the apostles priests, or that he did not command that they and other priests should offer his body and blood, let him be anathema. Thirdly, if anyone says that the sacrifice of the Mass is merely an offering of praise and of thanks, or that it is a simple memorial, a remembrance of the sacrifice offered on the cross, and not propitiatory, having to do with sin, or that it benefits only those who receive communion, and that it should not be offered for the living and the dead, for sins, punishments, satisfaction, and other needs, let him be anathema. And again, let me tell you, this forthcoming catechism is going to be a nuclear bomb. The word mass, paragraph after paragraph, mass here, mass there, misses no words. Any other questions? I think I should start answering questions. We have said that the essence of the Mass is Christ's willingness to die. Our Savior are actually present somehow at Calvary are both true. Well, in a sense, we may say that we are at Mass, present on Calvary, because we were in Christ's mind when he was on Calvary. Moreover, it is the same sacrifice. Same Christ who offers himself, same victim who is offering himself. The only difference is that bloody on the cross, I'm bloody here. So, we are present now. You have to explain how people can be present, for example. Or the joys I had, gave a retreat this summer to a group of women and a Japanese woman. Came with a book which he read in Tokyo, published by this center, translated into Japanese, brought him into the church. So we can be present, right? Even we are physically, we are not right there in body. So good question. I give a little explanation. I thought we had no right to heaven. It is a pure gift. You say we are entitled to heaven by baptism. Please clarify. So, no one has a right to heaven. But that's where grace comes in. Though we have no claim or right to heaven, God in his goodness gives us the grace, which then, once we have the grace then entitles us to heaven. In other words, is a title, but understood in the sense that the very title is itself a gift. Does the sacrament of matrimony give the grace to parents, children, or to parent, children, who are not born to the union, but whose parents cannot or won't care for them emotionally and or physically? Oh, yes. God gives grace to the parents. Sure. Remember, it's one thing to be given the grace. It's something else to know you've got the grace. Recognize it, and then use it. People tell me I've been making so many novenas, and what they want is really, I'm sure, pleasing to God. And look, all you need is not more novenas to get more grace. Won't you please find the combination to the safe and open the door and use the grace. And of course, when you tell them what they have to do to use the grace, they're not so sure. They want to go back to the novena. We have a free will. Grace is an invitation. Our as of EP. What does that mean? Responder? See, who bad? Have a grace in our as of EP. Could you please tell us the situation when Jesus instituted each sacrament. For example, sacrament of marriage. Was this sacrament instituted at the wedding of Cana? The church does not tell us when all the sacraments were instituted. We do know when the sacrament of orders was instituted at the Last Supper. When the sacrament of the Eucharist was instituted, again at the Last Supper. When the sacrament of penance was instituted on Easter Sunday night. Beyond that, for the other four sacraments, we speculate. A very common teaching is at Cana. But I would say another very common teaching is when Christ told, remember the Pharisees who were badgering him, you were told, yeah, at the very beginning, two in one flesh. Therefore, man puts away his wife and marries another, he commits adultery. Then Saint Mark, and if she leaves a husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Thanks, Lord, thanks. It covers both. That Christ instituted the sacrament of matrimony, more probably at Cana, another possibility in giving that command. Many hold that baptism was instituted when our Lord told the apostles, going there to baptize them, those whom you evangelize, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But no formal teaching except for the three sacraments previously identified. What functions can women perform during the sacrifice of the Mass? Can be the lectors. Well, they sure are lectors. I think we talked about this. There is a ministry called reader or lector in the Catholic Church. It used to be a minor order till Vatican II. The minor orders were suppressed in the Latin Rite and replaced by ministers. So lector is the one who is to do the reading. Of course, the priest can do his own reading, and the deacon, and the lectors. And the lectors, by canon law, are supposed to be men. They're black on white. Any language you want to read, German, French, English, Spanish. But who pays any attention to that? I told you about my bishop friend who had the gall to set aside men to be acolytes to help out as extraordinary ministers of communion. He told me, I told you, made national television. And the pressure is mainly from women, mainly. I can tell you this. The Holy See considers feminist movement in the United States to be the single greatest threat to the Catholic Church in America. It began, as I know, is my work, with disgruntled religious women, nuns, like the woman in Washington, remember, that told the Pope that women should be ordained. To the occasion, and some 400 million people are watching throughout the world. Diocese after diocese, where women are running the diocese. I am watching my language. I know what I'm saying. And how specific I could be. St. Augustine said, show mercy not only to yourselves, but also to him who, being in the higher position among you, is therefore in the greater danger. St. Aquinas adds, but fraternal correction is a work of mercy, Therefore, even prelates are to be corrected. Please comment. Prelates, that means priests, and especially bishops, should be corrected. Yes, yes. And believe me, there are plenty of people, including feminists, who are telling bishops and priests what to do, how they're ever. But the wrong people they're talking. And what they're saying is, unfortunately, either encouraging them in what they're already doing, which is out of order, or insisting that the bishops conform to their own pleasure. There's a billboard on the way here that says, Jesus being killed again because of Vatican II. Who would do such a thing and why? Well, you know, the Catholic Church has two kinds of enemies. Those who are enemies of the Catholic Church because they deny the Catholic Church's basic teachings in the moral law. Homosexual Network hates the Catholic Church. The abortionists hate the Catholic Church. They are the, in general, call them the unbelievers. But there are other enemies of the Catholic Church. And they are those who claim to be believers and may even be believers in God and in Christ. But they will not accept any authority on earth to tell them what to believe and, of course, and how to live. They are the fundamentalists. They are those who may, oh, how pious they can be, but they just hate the Pope, hate the authority which he exercises, and as a consequence, sign like this, Jesus Christ is being killed again because of Vatican II. Can you imagine, can you just imagine, for 5 seconds, any billboard like this against the Jewish people? 5 seconds. In other words, these are the people who claim to be Christians. Like the wife calling me up periodically from a Midwestern state, married a man who became Catholic when he married her. She thought he became a Catholic. And then a couple of months, went back to his Protestant church. His pastor is an ex-Catholic. And, Bible, my goodness. You must know the Bible by heart. They hate the Pope and the Church and Vatican II. Why? Because they don't want any authority on earth to tell them what to do. Last week, the question was asked about Protestants in nursing homes receiving Holy Communion. You said no. If the priest says they can, what should be done to stop this practice? I think the priest may have been confronted on this once already. But continue the practice of lay people distributing Holy Communion to anyone who wishes to receive our Lord. Well, all I can say is what I've already said. And from the very beginning, date 140 AD, St. Justin. The only ones that may receive Holy Communion are those who believe in Christ, believe in the church, believe in Christ's real presence, and are in the state of friendship with God, in the state of grace. And now, believe me, you can find statements. I've seen it on missalettes that are on sale because there are a number of them in the market. See, the opposite of what I'm telling you, the opposite. Whom do you believe? The church still has authority, but as Pope Paul VI, that's how many years ago? Over 20 years ago. When he goes to bed at night, told a friend of mine, a bishop friend of mine, every night when I go to bed, I honestly believe I'm laying my head on a crown of thorns. What do you do with bishops that openly defend homosexuality? Openly, brazenly. Tell the Pope he's wrong. Women should be ordained. In one large diocese, which is a record of thousands of annulments, think I told you. What principle do you have for giving these annulments? Our principal told me he was head of the tribunal. We hold that everyone who appeals the marriage has a right to be annulled. That's insane. That's being kind, because insanity, a person is not responsible for being insane. Any more questions? We'll end for it. The next time now, my next week will have the month of the Holy Souls. And I told you about the letter I received from a man regarding the Eucharist. I spoke on abortion on the West Coast. And he said, Father, what do you think of starting a campaign offering masses against abortion? Father, I'm coming. We can organize at least 25,000 masses next year against abortion. What do you think? I think it's a good idea. That's a meeting. This mass is being offered to fight abortion. So Lord willing, we'll meet and next Tuesday, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.